We could almost just go home with what has already been. But we have the amazing opportunity today to also take part in communion or the Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist, depending your faith tradition, the name it's called. And today we have that opportunity to share time together. And Lance has asked me to speak on or to teach on what this actually means for us. A heads up. Honestly, I don't expect to say anything out of the ordinary or something you've never heard before, because I'm not sure there'd be many things we could say that many of you or most of you haven't already heard. My guess is that most of us here, if not all of us, have already taken part in communion multiple times in our lives. And I believe that it's probably not necessary so much to try to convince you of new things or reveal something hidden and secret that was revealed this past week for us. But I do think there's a huge opportunity for us to slow down and experience and partake, be a part of this moment together in a way that will break the rhythm of our normal lives and hopefully have its full significance for each of us today. This is one of the most important sacraments in the Christian faith. It's one of the most important traditions because it points to the very core, the purpose, the very core belief of who we are as Christians or as Jesus followers. And so, as I said, my goal today, we will be going over some of the core beliefs or ideas around Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, who he is, what he said. But more than the teaching, my goal is that we could literally put the brakes on and just relax, if I could use that word, and reflect deeply on these truths. I'm sure many of you, as myself and our family today, were scurrying here and there with baths and getting dressed and not forgetting to dress the smallest one, et cetera, et cetera. And there's all kinds of things going on tomorrow. Some of you are already thinking about what's coming for tomorrow or the next week and all these different things. Let's just have a parenthesis here in the next few moments to drink deep of what this means. Now, I hope there's a few of you here this morning that just hearing about teaching about the Lord's Supper or communion or even just being here is new. And maybe you've heard of it many times, but maybe you're still not at that point where you say, yeah, I believe that. Maybe if we talk about the Lord's Supper or the things I'll be mentioning, maybe for you it's like, yada, yada, yada. I've heard that. They always say the same thing. I don't buy it. Now, I'm not going to insult you by trying to convince you in a few minutes that what you think is wrong and what I believe is true. That's not my goal. I don't want to insult you. If you'd like to talk about it, it deserves many conversations. I encourage you to keep asking the questions, to keep, I would even say maybe in the right context, doubting, asking those questions, because I believe you will find and you will discover what I've come to believe. But just for today, if that's where you're at, I'd like you just to consider how these beliefs of the constant underdog, the constantly hated, even persecuted believers in Jesus has already survived and not only survived but thrived over more than 2,000 years. That you would consider how it continues to influence the lives of many, 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 including my own today. And the high standard of love that it demands of all of us who are believers in Christ. So if that's where you're at, if you're not quite sure you believe in all of this, that's okay. Super glad you're here. And just invite you to consider that. It comes down ultimately to believing that Jesus is who he said he was and believing that what he said is true. Now, to jump in deep on the topic, I want to start. I mentioned just stopping, reflecting, breathing deep. And I literally want to take a few seconds to shut up and to allow all of us to calm our thoughts, to calm our hearts before the Lord today and drink in His presence and what this will mean. So I'm going to be quiet for a few seconds, and that's completely intentional. If you're comfortable, I'd like to invite you to even close your eyes and just focus for a few minutes. Just relax, just calm, just let's be quiet before the Lord. I'd like to take a few minutes and remember and reflect on some of the core truths about why we even celebrate today the Lord's Supper. One of the biggest key ideas here is that man has been separated by our disobedience, by our sin, from God. So humanity has this problem that we are no longer connected as God intended with our Creator. So therefore, we have a need for a Savior. Another big idea here, Jesus' life. And just that Jesus would have lived on this earth, that we call in Christian circles the incarnation, God becoming man, is this huge, huge idea. Not that he's far off, we'll fix it, or I'll fix it for you, but I'm not getting messy. No, he came to live among us. And not only did he come, but he taught, he spoke, and he lived, he taught through his example. So Jesus' life, everything he did, everything he said. And then we have what we remember may be key here today is his death. And I'm not going to try to explain all the different ways of understanding it or even give it a great defense. But we understand Jesus' own teaching that he came and gave his life to reestablish that connection with the Father, with God. And his death on the cross and his shed blood is today the payment of that sin so that we can, as humanity, once again have that reestablished connection and relationship with God. Now, oftentimes in the Lord's Supper, we stop there. And yes, when Jesus spoke about the Lord's Supper, it was right before his death. But even in the text that we will read in a few minutes, Jesus didn't stop with just his death. And that's one of the amazing parts of what we believe as Christians. Because his death, if yes, it was incredibly important for this whole thing, what happens next after his death maybe is not only just as important, but maybe more important. Because we believe, and history, I believe, tells us that he rose again. He rose again from the dead, giving us or proclaiming victory over death itself. And then we read that he went back to heaven, and we are aware of that because he's not here amongst us today. But even again, even in the Lord's Supper, that first moments with those first moments of Lord's Supper with his disciples, he spoke of his return. He spoke of his return, the complete fulfillment of his work, his mission, his purpose, his kingdom come on this earth. So that's what that means if we reflect on what the different truths relate to humanity, history, etc., to the world. And I want to consider for a few minutes what this means for us here today. I believe we all are in need of forgiveness. I believe we all are in need of a Savior. And I want to read a prayer. It's called the Prayer of Confession. And I'd like to invite you today, together, that we would make this prayer our own. Because I believe this part of confessing our sins is something that at least I need to do just about daily, if not more than once a day. So I'm going to read this, and this is part of this whole process of believing in Jesus, believing what he said, and confessing our need of him and our need for his forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Now, another truth, and what this, as we consider what this means for us, is if you believe what we've said so far, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. So even if there's a lament from our sin, and even if there's a lament because of what our sin cost our Savior, because of what has already been done and what is promised for us, we are forgiven. So raise up that chin and put that smile on your face. Get the goosebumps. We are forgiven. And that forgiveness, what He has done for us, gives us strength for today. Gives us strength for today. If His death and His resurrection, if He gave so much for us, what more won't He give? He gives us strength for today. And here's another idea which is super key right now, especially in the context of this point in time in history. Gives us hope for tomorrow. Without going too far off on a tangent, no matter what happens, no matter what is already happening in different parts of this world, no matter what will happen in the coming weeks, be it here in Mexico or around the world, our hope is not in a government, in a great political leader, in our abilities. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. And as I said a second ago, He has already given everything for us. We can trust in Him. So, in a few moments, as we come forward, and as we take of these different elements of the juice and of the bread, it's not just a sacrament or a tradition. Just as it's not just a quote-unquote magical prayer, Jesus, forgive me. It is literally partaking or becoming a part of, sharing in Christ's life, death, resurrection, and His return. So I'd like to invite us all today, as we come forward, to be very conscious of what this potentially could mean. And I say potentially because it's very possible to just come and follow through the motions and say, hey, the tortilla is a little bit dry and I really need a whole glass of this juice. And just move on. But there's so much more that is represented in this act. So much more. And I want to invite you to drink deep of that today. Now, according to the words of Paul, who was the apostle who wrote much of the New Testament, this is also actually very serious. And I don't want to scare anyone, but if what I've said, you're like, I just am not there yet, or I get it, but I'm not willing to partake of this in the way that you're saying, I would actually humbly, respectfully invite you not to come forward and participate, because the act of doing this truly does point back to this, participating in Christ's life, death, resurrection, and His return.